Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of Crossing to Safety by Wallace Stegner, narrated by Richard Poe and directed by Erica Jensen. This book is copyrighted 1987 by Wallace Stegner. This recording is copyrighted 2009 by Recorded Books. The author opens with some lines of verse by Robert Frost. I could give all to time except what I myself have held. But why declare the things forbidden that while the custom slept, I have crossed to safety with? For I am there, and what I would not part with, I have kept. And now, Crossing to Safety.
Part 1. Chapter 1. Floating upward through a confusion of dreams and memory, curving like a trout through the rings of previous risings, I surface. My eyes open. I am awake. Cataract sufferers must see like this when the bandages are removed after the operation. Every detail as sharp as if seen for the first time, yet familiar too. Known from before the time of blindness, the remembered and the seen coalescing as in a stereoscope. It is obviously very early. The light is no more than dusk that leaks past the edges of the blinds. But I see, or remember, or both, the uncurtained windows, the bare rafters, the board walls with nothing on them except a calendar that I think was here the last time we were, 8 years ago. What used to be aggressively Spartan is shabby now. Nothing has been refreshed or added since Charity and Sid turned the compound over to the children. I should feel as if I were waking up in some Ma and Pa motel in Hard Times country, but I don't. I have spent too many good days and nights in this cottage to be depressed by it. There is even, as my eyes make better use of the dusk, and I lift my head off the pillow to look around, something marvelously reassuring about the room, a warmth even in the gloom. Associations, probably, but also color. The unfinished pine of the walls and ceilings has mellowed over the years to a rich honey color, as if stained by the warmth of the people who built it into a shelter for their friends. I take it as an omen, and though I remind myself why we are here, I can't shake the sense of loved familiarity into which I just awoke. The air is as familiar as the room. Standard summer cottage taint of mice, plus a faint, not unpleasant remembrance of skunks under the house. But around and through those, a keenness as of 7,000 feet. Illusion, of course. What smells like altitude is latitude. Canada is only a dozen miles north. And the ice sheet that left its tracks all over this region hasn't gone for good, but only withdrawn. Something in the air, even in August, says it will be back. In fact, if you could forget mortality, and that used to be easier here than in most places, you could really believe that time is circular, and not linear and progressive as our culture is bent on proving. Seen in geological perspective, we are fossils in the making. To be buried and eventually exposed again for the puzzlement of creatures of later eras. Seen in either geological or biological terms, we don't warrant attention as individuals. One of us doesn't differ that much from another. Each generation repeats its parents. The works we build to outlast us are not much more enduring than anthills, and much less so than coral reefs. Here, everything returns upon itself, repeats and renews itself, and present can hardly be told from past. Sally is still sleeping. I slide out of bed and go barefoot across the cold wooden floor. The calendar, as I pass it, insists that it is not the one I remember. It says, accurately, that it's 1972, and the month is August. The door creaks as I ease it open. Keen air, gray light, gray lake below, gray sky through the hemlocks, whose top